With your money briefing, I'm J.R. Whalen in New York at the Wall Street Journal. Some key inflation data pushed stocks higher on Friday. The Dow Jones Industrials rose 211 points to close at 25,928. Meanwhile, the NASDAQ added 60 points and the S&P 500 was up about 19. Shares of Lyft had traded as much as 23% higher in its first day of trading, but settled in to close at 8.7% at $78.29 a share. And U.S. oil prices rose to a four-month high of $60 a barrel on Friday. Let's bring in Wall Street Journal markets reporter Akani Otani to help us cap off the week and the quarter on Wall Street. So, Akani, we close out the first quarter with the three indexes turning in strong gains.
That's right. The S&P 500 actually had its best quarter since 2009. So it's quite a remarkable rebound, especially when you consider what happened in the last few months of 2018, when there was a lot of pessimism about global growth and central banks. You know, in the last couple of months in comparison, it seems like a lot of the worries that investors were struggling with at the end of 2018 has somewhat faded to the background.
In fact, the stocks were up more than 10% for the quarter. S&P 500 up about 13%.
Yeah, and it's interesting that we've seen a lot of those gains stemming from all sorts of industries. So whereas at the first half of 2018, we did see a lot of the gains concentrated in tech shares, this quarter we actually saw all 11 sectors of the S&P 500 end higher. And the last time that that had actually happened was 2014. So really remarkable quarter for the stock market.
And there's some concern going forward as to whether stocks can forge higher in light of slowing global economic growth.
Yeah, it's one of the big issues that investors are grappling with right now. On the one hand, we have seen signs that central banks around the world are willing to pause on their rate increase campaigns. And that's in light of the slowdown that we've seen in economic growth around the world. And I think at this point, investors are dealing with this sort of tug of war. I mean, on the one hand, lower interest rates should be supportive of market gains, but on the other, slowing growth generally leads to slower profit growth as well. So we'll have to wait to see how those dynamics play out.
Speaking of rates, interesting words out of the White House on Friday. National Economic Council Director Lawrence Kudlow said he'd like to see the Fed drop interest rates by 50 basis points.
Yeah, and it's interesting. We've really seen this administration being quite vocal about the federal rates monetary policy, which is, of course, a shift from prior administrations. But Kudlow is not exactly alone on this. I mean, if you look in the futures market, investors are currently pricing in around a 0% chance of rates going higher this year. And increasingly throughout the last couple of weeks, we've actually seen bets pile into the notion that rates are going to go lower before the end of the year. So it is a little bit unusual, the candor that he has, but not exactly an isolated opinion in the markets.
And the Fed keeps close eyes on inflation, and the latest numbers out for January showed it inched up just 0.1%.
Yeah, it really affirms, I think, the notion that inflation is not about to race higher at the moment. I mean, I think this is something that has perplexed investors and economists for quite some time now, the fact that we're seeing a very tight labor market and generally strong economic growth, generally positive consumer sentiment, business confidence, and yet inflation has been quite muted. And that's actually a positive for now, I think, for markets, because investors are largely interpreting that as one more reason why the Fed shouldn't accelerate its pace of rate increases. But it does have a flip side. I mean, low inflation has in the past sort of stoked fears of a slowdown in growth. So it'll be one other thing worth keeping an eye out for.
Many of our listeners are listening to this on Friday afternoon, Friday evening, over the weekend. They go out to dinner and they get home via a car service. And speaking of that, regarding Lyft, we talked about that a moment ago. How's that for a transition? It was one of the most anticipated IPOs of the year, and it finally hit the ground running on Friday.
That's right. We saw Lyft close up 8.7% in its trading debut, and that was after the car sharing service had actually priced at the top end of its range. So overall, it's showing a pretty strong signs of demand for IPOs this year.
And this was very closely watched, not only because it's Lyft and it's battling against Uber in terms of popularity, but also it's really setting the pace for the IPO market this year and in the tech sector.
Analysts currently believe that this could be one of the biggest years ever for IPOs. So how Lyft does is of huge interest to investors because they're closely watching to see if other tech companies in the pipeline may also have strong debuts in the public market.
All right. That's Wall Street Journal reporter Akani Ohtani here in our studio. Akani, thanks for coming by.
Thanks for having me.
Next week brings a raft of economic data. We'll get February retail sales on Monday. That's followed by durable goods data on Tuesday. Then the ADP private payroll report comes on Wednesday, and the March employment report finishes out the week on Friday. On corporate earnings, Walgreens reports quarterly numbers on Tuesday, and Sears Holdings follows on Wednesday. And that's your Money Briefing. I'm J.R. Whalen in New York for The Wall Street Journal.